The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Hey, if you want to give me a call, five open lines, wide open, give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Please give me a call, and we can talk. If you're new to the show, this is a Christian apologetics show, and what that means is we answer questions, do the defense of the faith, teach doctrine, refute error, all that kind of stuff. If that sounds interesting, well, then continue to listen. And if you have questions, you want to talk about the Bible, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, UFOs, aliens, the occult, biblical theology, the one and the many, universals, transcendentals, all kinds of stuff, then give me a call. Even evolution, if you want to talk about that, the nature of science. Well, it's all kinds of stuff. And just letting you know, today, I've been working on something for a couple of days. Now, what I do is I have outlines in Word, and I've been working outlines for years so that I don't want to lose information and things I study and things I learn. And I don't convert everything into articles, but I might notice that a Greek is a passive active voice thing here, middle, that, there. And I might make a note about a particular verse. And what I do is I put them in my outlines. I have been doing this in all kinds of topics. And so I've been doing it on Reformed theology, science, philosophy, Catholicism, slavery, government, Islam, you know, all kinds of biblical apologetics, Eastern Orthodoxy, atheism, the objective morality, oneness, and baptism. And what I did for the past couple, 3 days is I took my notes from my outline and I converted them to HTML or for web pages. That took a lot of work because I had to go through and check everything and make sure it was all cogent and things like that. And I released it today. And to find it, you can just go to the CARM homepage. And if you go to the CARM homepage, you can just you'll see there a listing of the articles that are most recently released. We have the 2023 Israel trip that's pinned at the top, but underneath that it says outline on baptism. And if you click that, those are my notes. Now, it's not all of my notes, but it's an awful lot of them. And I put there what is relevant and what's easy to understand. Now, this is just my way of learning. It's my way of recording information. But I have discovered that when I have sent people my notes for various things, that they've really enjoyed them. So it's not narration, it's just outlined and references and comments and things like that under varying topics. There's even a list of verses that people go to when they want to support baptism. Now, why am I writing about baptism? Because there are people who teach a false gospel. The false gospel is that you have to be baptized to be saved. And so for years I've been working on arguing about against this false teaching. Yeah, we should get baptized. And I'm going through all the verses, not all, but you know, a lot of the verses that they commonly use and put references. And that's what that outline is. And I plan to do some releasing on some more outlines over the next few weeks and stuff, or a couple of months probably. I've got some, like my outlines on Roman Catholicism is over 190 pages, so I'm not going to convert that. That would take me a month and be one huge pile. I'd have to break it up into groups and things like that, and maybe I can do something like that too, just to help people out. And it's in the cut and paste section. If you want to see it quickly and where these things are, all you have to do is go to carm.org/CUT, cut, and it'll take you to the cut and paste section. And at the bottom of that, you'll see the outlines tab, or not the outlines tab, but the outline subdivision I just created today. Now, that reminds me of something else, because I was looking at the URL for that, and I was reminded of a conversation I had last night. And we'll get to the caller here in a minute, but I was talking to a guy who knows tech very well, and I didn't know he did, and we just got talking, and I made a comment, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's because I go, hey, you know stuff, and so we got talking. Turns out And he works in the IT department, and he has a close acquaintance, I'll leave it at that, who knows a lot of stuff about web, internet, etc., and what Google's doing. And so I said, we used to get, Carm used to get about 90,000 page views a day. A page view is when someone comes in, looks at one article, that's one page view. Goes to another article, that's two page views. Go to another article, that's three page views. And then he leaves. It's the same as one person looking at one page and leaving, another person looking at another and leaving, another person looking at another and leaving. So whether one person looks at three or three look at one each, each one of those instances of looking at a web page is a page view. So we were getting well over 90,000 a day. And now we're down to 18,000 to 20,000. That's where it's staying. And if you do an experiment, if you were to go to Google and type in, what is the Trinity? The CARM comes up about page two. It used to come up number one position about 4 or 5 years ago. And if you go to DuckDuckGo and do the same thing, it comes up, I did it yesterday, in the number one position. And Yahoo, believe it or not, Yahoo.com is still a good search engine. I'm going to do it right now. What is the Trinity? Question mark, and see what happens. And CARM is number one. Well, actually, it is number one. And so, you see, Google, and I said to this guy, I said, Google has altered its algorithm so that Christian ministries and such don't get high ratings. And he just jumped in. He goes, that's exactly true. He said it with confidence and knowledge. He goes, we already know that. We already know that they've altered the algorithms to make conservatives and Christianity in particular have less dominance on what you find. And so it still shows up. So that's a problem. So what I recommend, if you have a question, you know, what you can do is when you go to Google and you want to search for something, just type in, you know, you can type in, go to google.com, and you can type in CARM, and then what is the Trinity, and just type the word CARM, and then it'll show up. And so that's just one thing. So I'm just saying this because the powers that be don't like conservative thoughts, and they don't like Christian thought, and ultimately it's being punished, and stuff like that, so there's verification. I'm just saying that, you know. And please remember to go there and check out the site. It still has a lot of traffic. 18,000 page views a day isn't too bad. And so it's better than a lot of sites and not as good as some other ones. There you go. There you go. So let's get on the air with Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Yesterday when I was listening to you talk about Kamala Harris, so as soon as you told me about her not being able to be president, I called my friend Travis, and Travis Jackson, he went to Google. If you go to Google and type in www.factchecker.com,
okay. Yeah.
It shows that she can be president her parents are not American, but she is because she was born in Oakland, California.
Oh, okay. Well, then that she'd qualify. All right. Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for that. So, yeah. So she could. Yes, boy, that would be. Wouldn't that be bad?
Yes, it would. Because you said that, man, I jumped like I caught on fire. I called him and told him all that stuff you said. I was like, oh man, oh, but not true. You know, so we started looking up what he did, and he found out. So I told him I would call you and let you know.
Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate that. I didn't know she's born in Oakland, so good. If she is, well, then she is eligible. She's eligible by legality, but I would say she's not eligible by mental acuity, that's for sure. She and Biden are cut out of the same cloth. Unfortunately, I'm not trying to knock his encroaching senility, but it's obviously there. And she, can you imagine what will happen to her when she starts? Because the things that she says are just ludicrous. She has no competence I could do a better job than she could. Well, that's pretty boastful, but I certainly could. Okay? Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, that's pretty boastful, because that's just how bad she is. Go ahead.
Would you want her to be the vice president or the president or Pelosi? Which one?
I think all three of them need to be brought up on charges. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, for doing things and supporting things that are against the Constitution. And because they're in power, nobody does anything. They get away with stuff. But I think that Biden needs to be brought up on charges. At the very least, he needs to be impeached. He has destroyed our economy. He has opened the border against the law and let people come in. He has promoted the idea of letting anybody vote against our laws without having identification, which is what the laws, the states have said, if I understand, and promoting ballot boxes, which can be stuffed. So this is, in my opinion, it's impeachable, and he should be impeached. Pelosi, let's just say the Wicked Witch of the West, I think has problems, I should say from the East. And yeah, I'd like to do bios on each one of them and just find out, here's what they say, this is what they've done. But I'm too busy doing theology. But it doesn't take much to research all of it. I got 18,000 things. In fact, I'm rewriting one of my books now. And I'm going to re-release it, The Influence. So we've been working on that and working on some heavy theological stuff. And some of it I'll be teaching tonight. But anyway, I'm rambling now. So I don't have any confidence in our government officials anymore. That's just my opinion.
I don't either, but yeah. Just one thing before I go. Is it possible, because I sent y'all a message, is it possible, because I want to give to your organization, but I can't do it online, is it possible y'all could figure out a way that you could do
some people just mail stuff to us. You know, they just go to the bottom of the webpage, and there's a P.O. box, and we go once or twice a week and go to the P.O. box. My wife does deposits based on it. People just voluntarily support us, and we're very appreciative of it. We give them tax receipts at the end of the year. And like I said yesterday, you know, we just ask for a little bit. I know the economy is getting tough. It's going to hit us pretty hard. I think things are going to get pretty bad. But we're asking for $5 a month. I think that's, you know, not much. And if we can get some people, you know, 1,000 people even, just doing $5 a month, we can meet all of our bills easily. We're on the edge. And let's just say we needed help. Well, I'm just going to leave it at that. Because I'll tell you, sometimes it gets tight. And we had to withdraw some of our funds and some stuff. And kind of, you know, it's just ministry and business is how it works. But we want to continue to pay our missionaries and stuff. Okay?
Yes, sir. You say it's... You go to karm.org.
Yeah, or the bottom of the website. Yeah. You can do karm.org/donate, and all the information you need is there. Well, it's
okay.
Easy.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Sound good, buddy?
Thank you.
All right.
Yes, sir. Okay. Have a good day.
All right.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Hey, guess what? 5 open lines, nobody waiting. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. There's a break, perfect chance for you to call, get in line. I want to hear from you. What do you got to say? What do you want to ask? We'll be right back after these messages, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. Hey, we have 4 open lines. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Latasha from North Carolina. Welcome. You're on your air. On the air, excuse me. What do you got?
Hey, Mr. Matt, this is me, Tasha. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. You sound better from like 5 months ago when you were sick, so I can see you're doing great.
By God's grace, yeah, thank you. Okay. So what do you got?
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so listen, like, okay, I didn't cut out the weave, okay, because I swear I wear something in the Bible where, you know, women is not supposed to wear, you know, false, like, hair and stuff like that. That's cool, because I got hair. It's growing. So
you
my main concern at this point, like...
Okay, go ahead. No, I wasn't sure what you said, but go ahead, let's see.
Okay, so my main concern at this point is, I read in the Bible, me and my boyfriend, where women are supposed, when they pray and when they go out in public, we're supposed to keep our head wrapped. So it's a big controversy of like, okay, do I just show my hair or I need to be wrapped up my head like I'm, you know, like I'm from over overseas. So can you help me and give me a little bit of thought here, the process here of what I should be doing?
Yeah. It's talking about stuff in 1 Corinthians 11 about a woman praying with her head covered. Every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head, for she is one and same with a woman whose head is shaved. The woman whose head was shaved was a woman who's caught in sexual immorality, and it would shave her head as a public demonstration of her shame. Usually it was, you know, it could be with prostitutes and adulterers and other things. And so it was a thing of shame because a woman's hair, her long hair, was a beautiful thing. And it took a long time for it to grow back out. So that's what's going on when he says, pray with your hair with your head uncovered. Because what it's talking about in that culture, because this is a cultural thing, his head is shaved. What it's talking about is the issue of authority. So... What they think is going on here, what Paul is talking about in the Corinthian church, is in that context at that time, since God is the head of Christ, who's the head of man, who's the head of woman, that therefore in the church gathering there in Corinth, in light of the culture demonstrating authority, that the woman should display her position of being under the authority of her husband. Not that she's or he's superior, it's just an authority thing. And it was very important in that culture. And so women who went out in the culture with their hair exposed could sometimes be divorced by their husband, depending on where they were in the Mediterranean area. Oh, yeah. Because it was a sensuous thing. And so women would let their hair down in the home. And so when, incidentally, in Luke, when the woman went to Jesus, when he was at the house of Simon the Pharisee, and she let down her hair in public, that's like, you know, grab the chest and coming home, Martha, you know, and it's just oh, my goodness. And so then she started touching him at his feet, which were filthy, and then she started kissing his feet and used the oil that was used most probably for her to cover body odor for her business.
Yeah.
If you get the gist, she was pouring that on his feet and kissing them and wiping them with her hair. Every single one of these was a humongous taboo, and she was doing all of them, and Jesus praised her. But that's a great story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. But nevertheless, it is. When I teach on it and I go through verse by verse and I show, I've preached it before. I know we're really on a tangent here, but I've preached it before a few times, and I've had to each time tell the congregation, look, I'm not a real emotional person, but this story often wells up deep emotions when you see and when you know what was happening. It's been times when I've broken, my voice is cracked, you know, and wiping away the tears because it's such a beautiful story. Okay, well, anyway, so it looks like what's happening in 1 Corinthians 11 is all of this kind of thing, and that if she's praying without her head covered, what she is saying in the context of the culture is, I don't need authority over me. It was a rebellion act, but it's not the case anymore. So you don't have to have your head covered in church or outside of church. If you want to cover your hair, cover it. If you don't. No big deal.
Okay. Good, because I ain't got no husband anyway. Okay, so you got that answer. What was you saying in the beginning of the call?
I forgot. You said something, but I forgot what it was. I was like, what? Wasn't sure what you said. But I can't remember, so I don't know what it was. So you hit something, though.
Oh, I got you. It was basically like, okay, I don't wear, like, hair extensions anymore and stuff like that because I like long weave and stuff, like, all we long. So I cut that out because I thought I read something in the Bible that, you know, that was, you know, God wants you to be natural as possible. So, you know,
So, it's like braided hair. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, you can wear braids if you want. Of course.
You know, I don't wear braids anymore or any weave. I don't wear that anymore.
Weaves. Okay, I thought you said weed at first. I'm like, what? So in 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, rather by means of good works, as is proper for a woman making a claim to godliness. What he was saying was not to be ostentatious about your dress, because in that culture, gold and pearls, that cost money. And the average person didn't have stuff like that. We can do that today because we're so prosperous here. So to have gold and pearls in your hair and on your person was a sign and a public and purposeful display of your wealth and stature. And Paul's saying, don't do that. You know, they would braid their hair. They have people whose profession would take care of their hair and braid it. They have gold. And so it's talking about like the Kardashians. You know, don't act like them. Don't act like the Joneses and get to follow them around. That's what's going on. So if you want to have braided hair or have a gold ring or you want to wear a gold necklace, it's not a big deal because it's not in that context of being ostentatious as long as it's modest. And it reminds me. You know, it reminds me is my wife. She's a good-looking woman, and people still to this day wonder why she married me. But she, when she would go, she goes out. She will sometimes ask me, "Is this appropriate?" It's not because she's asking my permission. She wants a man's view and perspective. Do you think this is okay? And I say, "Yeah, that looks good." And I'll go, "Boy, does that look good, woman? Yeah, let me get close." And she, you know, runs away. But most of the time, you know. She'll say, "I'd look good." And only a couple, three times I've said, "Well, I think you might want to change this or that." And she has no problem with that because she's not saying that she's the most sexy woman on the planet, but she understands. And she's just trying to display proper modesty. So I think she's the most sexy woman on the planet because she's probably listening.
Of course, you better.
That's right.
You better. In fact,
I still do. Oh, I still do. I still think she's got it going on. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's right.
I know what you do. Yeah, that's right. That's what's up. Well, thank you. I appreciate you sharing the story with me. That's all I want to know.
Okay, Latasha. God bless. All right. Hey, folks, four open lines. You're going to give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. Bottom of the hour, if you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get on the air with Beth from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I was listening, or I was coming home, and I did not catch all you said last night about Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer or something. Mm-hmm. Was it about sanctification and you did not agree with?
Well, Joel Osteen does not teach the true gospel, and he teaches a mamby-pamby theology. He's made such mistakes as saying that Mormons are Christians. He should never say that. He didn't know what he doesn't know what he's talking about, etc. Joyce Meyer blatantly teaches heresy, flat out heresy.
Really? Because I read her daily and have not picked up on that. But you know, I may not be,
show you?
You know, catching that. So exactly what do you mean?
Here, I'll tell you what. I actually during the break I got it set up because I could see your call. Let's see if I can pull this off. I'm going to play some audio from her. I have to take my headset off and put it next to the speaker. Pretty Mickey Mouse, but it'll work. Okay, so hold on and listen to this.
He could have helped himself up until the point where he said, I commend my spirit into your hands. At that point, he couldn't do nothing for himself anymore. He had become sin. He was no longer the Son of God. He was sin.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, he was no longer the Son of God, but sin.
He was sin. He was no longer the Son of God. All right?
Yeah.
That's heresy. Uh-huh. Here's another one. I got several. Listen to this.
Do you know something? The minute that blood sacrifice was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. That was sealed. I mean, it happened when he was in heaven.
So that's another heresy.
Yeah.
You want to hear more?
Huh. Well, I guess I will not read her anymore.
That's right. She also says this. He became, this is in the book, The Most Important Decision You'll Ever Make by Joyce Meyer, second printing, May 1993, page 35. Quote, he became our sacrifice and died on the cross. He did not stay dead. He was in the grave 3 days. During that time, he entered hell, where you and I deserve to go legally because of our sin. He paid the price there. Close quote. That's damnable heresy. Now, I'm not saying it because I'm trying to be just sensationalistic. Damnable means it is such a bad teaching that it violates one of the essentials of the Christian faith. The essential of the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and that the atonement was made there on the cross when he said it is finished,
right.
John 19:30. But she is denying the sufficiency of the cross and saying he paid the price in hell. She also says this.
Okay.
That's heresy. It's damnable because what it means is that those who hold to it cannot be considered true Christians because they are advocating something that denies an essential of the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. This is from the same book, page 36. Jesus paid on the cross and went to hell in my place. Now, she's inconsistent. How could he pay the price on the cross and also in hell? She's not a good thinker when it comes to stuff like this. She goes on. Then, as God had promised, on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The scene in the spirit realm went something like this. God rose up from his throne and said to demon powers tormenting the sinless Son of God, let him go. Then the resurrection power of Almighty God went through hell and filled Jesus. On earth, his grave, where they buried him, was filled with light. As the power of God filled his body, he was resurrected from the dead, the first born-again man. She makes this up. Nothing like that's in Scripture.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
check this
out.
Yeah, I don't recognize that, yeah.
Here's the next page of the same book, page 37. Quote, his spirit went to hell because that is where we deserve to go. There is no hope of anyone going to heaven unless they believe this truth. Close quote. So now what she's done is redefine the gospel and saying if you don't believe what she's teaching about Jesus going to hell and finishing the atonement there, then you can't be a Christian. You can't go to heaven. So she has now taught a damnable heresy as an essential doctrine and said that if you don't believe what she's saying here, then you're going to hell.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess I will delete her from my Kindle.
Yeah. Unless you want to give me the book somehow.
Ever since I heard that, I thought, I better call you. So, and I happened to be in the car again tonight and, wrote down the number and called you. So thank you so much for clarifying that. I enjoyed listening to you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Goodbye.
Folks, we have five open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. In fact, what I'm going to do is play some more clips from Joyce Meyer. Listen to this one.
And, you know, I was listening to a set of tapes by one man, and he explained it like this, and I think this kind of gets the point across. He said, you know, why do people have such a fit about God calling his creation, his man, not his whole creation, but his man, little gods. If he's God, what's he going to call them but the God kind? I mean, if you as a human being have a baby, you call it a human kind. If cattle has another cattle, they call it cattle kind. So, I mean, what's God supposed to call us? Doesn't the Bible say we're created in his image?
So now she's saying it's okay for us to be called little gods. This is insane. And here, this is good too. This is so enjoyable.
I am not poor. I am not miserable. And I am not a sinner. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is what I were. And if I still was, then Jesus died in vain. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I didn't stop sinning until I finally got it through my thick head. I wasn't a sinner anymore. And the religious world thinks that's heresy, and they want to hang you for it. But the Bible says that I'm righteous, and I can't be righteous and be a sinner at the same time. I am...
Now, she's incapable, apparently, of understanding biblical theology and the logic that goes with it. She's untrained and unlearned in this area, and she does not know what she's teaching here. This is a serious error. Furthermore, when people tell me that they're not a sinner anymore, I say, so you don't sin, correct? That's correct. Is Jesus the standard of righteousness? And they say, yes, he's the standard of righteousness. Does Jesus sin? No. Are you keeping the law on the same level as Jesus? And now that's the question. When they say they're not sinning anymore, are they saying they're keeping the law just as Jesus did, as perfectly as he did? Because that's what they're doing. They're elevating themselves to that level. I don't sin anymore. And yet she teaches heresies. Here's another one.
The devil thought he had him. The devil thought he'd won. Oh, they were having the biggest party that ever been had. They had my Jesus in the floor, and they were standing on his back, jumping up and down, laughing, and he had become sin. Don't you think that God was pacing, wanting to put a stop to what was going on? All the hosts of hell were up on him. Up on him. Up on him. The angels are in agony. All the creation is groaning. All the host of hell was upon him. Up on him. They got on him. They got him down in the floor and got on him.
I hope you guys can hear that. I got even another one. But the thing is that she is she's a heretic. And I have to say it. Now, what she needs to do is recant from all of these sayings, from all of these false teachings. She has exceeded the word of God, which violates 1 Corinthians 4:6, or is it 6:4? And she has said things that are not in Scripture. She has she's contradicted the true gospel. She has alluded to the idea of being called gods. She doesn't sin anymore. You can't be saved unless you believe what she teaches about Jesus finishing the sacrifice and everything in hell, where he went, where we're supposed to go, and that demons were literally on Jesus. It's insanity. She is not a good teacher, as the Bible says. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough, Galatians 5:9. Her leaven is heresy. So there you go. Give me a call. Five open lines. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live. Taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the show. So we have nobody waiting right now, and I'm contemplating what to do, how much to talk about here on the issue of these teachers. And there are problems with a lot of people. And I want you to understand that I don't just go looking for heresy. You know, they call them heresy hunters. They just look for anything to be negative about. In fact, I was just looking at my research. I never finished it, but looking at the research on Joel Osteen. I've not released an article on him. But, for example, there's a certain quote, reference, where he said homosexuality is a sin. Yeah, good. He says civil partnerships are wrong. That's good also. He says that's what the scripture says. I can't fault him for that. You know, and I'm saying publicly, that's what he says. That's good. But he also says he doesn't understand all the issues on homosexuality. All right. But in response to a question as to whether or not Mormons are Christians, Joel said, in my mind, they are. Quote, he admits he hasn't studied the issue of Mormon doctrine. Now, Mormonism teaches, for example, that God came from another planet. He has a goddess wife, and they have relations in heaven and make spirit babies, and that the Trinity is three separate gods, and you have the potential of becoming gods of your own planet if you follow the laws and the ordinances of the Mormon Church. And there's a lot more about this. It's bad news. So he shouldn't say things like that, and any pastor worth his salt would know that. Now, I know there's Mormons listening to me in Salt Lake City right now, and you can understand, I wasn't beat up by a Mormon, and I don't have the testimony that you do. It's all that's irrelevant to, well, what does the Bible say? If your testimony contradicts Scripture, your testimony is wrong. But then, what they do is they say, oh, the Bible's been corrupted. You see? The only way in Mormonism to know Mormonism is true is if you believe Mormonism, because there's no way to find out if it's false. So therefore, it has to be true. And you get a feeling, and that's your verification. And it won't work on the Day of Judgment. But nevertheless, there are a lot of teachers out there who are teaching false things. And unfortunately, it is alive and well. And I have on my Preachers and Teachers section on Carm, I have quotes from John Anbenzini. Not many people know who he was. Charles Capps, more people know who he was. Kenneth Copeland. And Kenneth Copeland says heaven is a planet. For real. That faith is a conductive force. That Earth is a copy of the mother planet. That Adam had the same size body as God. That Adam is a reproduction of God. That Adam was as much male as female. For God to work on earth, he has to be in agreement with a man. And then God, he lists God's biggest failures. Paul Crouch, many of you know who he was. He says, we're gods. And he claimed to be a little god. Kenneth Hagin said Adam was the god of this world. And that Satan became the god of this world due to Adam's sin. And that Adam became satanic when he sinned. That Jesus' physical death did not remove sin. He said Jesus went to hell. That every believer is an incarnation of Jesus. And that we are in the same class as God. Benny Hinn, he said Adam used to fly. Eve was supposed to bring children out of her side. Don't say to God, if it be your will. That's not what you're supposed to say. To say you're a Christian is to say you're a little Messiah. God touched a piece of dust and turned it into a god. You are divine. And you are Jesus touching somebody. Joyce Meyer, I've already gone through and stuff. Joel Osteen talks about self-esteem. And Mormons are Christians. Fred Price, God can't do anything unless we allow him to do it. And for God to get back into earth, he needed an invitation. And he said the disciples had lots of money. Now, these are just some of the things that these people are teaching. And there's so much more. And so, we as Christians need to be aware of what these teachers are saying. And we need to call them on the carpet. And they need to be exposed. But unfortunately, so many sheep don't listen to the voice of Christ, and they follow these people, and they think they're legitimate, and they're not. Flat out, they're not. The Christian church should not be supporting them because they teach heresies. This is biblical admonition I'm giving, to expose the false teachers, have nothing to do with them. The fact that they're doing so well is a real problem. Let's get to Jay. And we lost him. Jay, if you want to call back, please. Please do. And what I was thinking about doing is, let's see, you know, there's a prophecy, I believe it's in 1 Timothy 4, and it talks about this a little bit. And it says this in 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. So he says there's going to be a time when people are going to fall away. And it's going to happen in the latter times. This is a problem. I mean, it's unfortunately, it's the case. In 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 3, know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, it all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. And he goes on, he talks about how people mock God. Now that's in the secular realm, they're doing that a lot. And inside the Christian church, there are people who are so successful. Millions of dollars, multiple homes, and they're teaching demonic doctrine. That's a huge thing for me to say. But the question is it true? And the answer is, yes, it is true. As I played what Joyce Meyer actually said, and you heard it, then you can recognize, and you should be able to recognize, the damnable heresy in the words that she spoke. Now, I have not heard, just to be fair, if she has or has not recanted those false statements. If there's someone out there who knows, you know, of a audio, video, or book authored by her where she says, I said these things and they were wrong and I recanted. Well, okay, good. People make mistakes. However, even if she does recant, the fact that she's saying these things and has taught them and didn't even know the basics is a serious warning, because we are called by God as preachers and teachers to know the truth. And this is what it says in the Bible. And so it says that the elders in the city, this is Titus chapter 1, it says the elder, and it also says the overseer, okay, appointing elders in verse 5 and overseers in verse 7. And this is what it says. These are about people who are supposed to be in the church who are teaching, who have a position of authority of teaching the Word of God. And he says this, Paul says to Titus, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if a man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. Are Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland, and Joel Osteen, are they exempt from these words? Are they exempt from the requirement of the character issues, as well as the ability and the command to be able to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict? Now, Joyce Meyer said that Jesus went to hell and paid the price there. Now, what does the Bible say? That he became sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, And it says in Colossians 2:14 that he canceled the sin debt, having nailed it to the cross. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says he bore our sin in his body on the cross. In John 19:30, he's on the cross, he said, "It's finished. It's done." So we know from Scripture that the atoning sacrifice of Christ was finished on the cross. When he died, that was it. That is the atonement. That is the sacrifice of Christ. That is an essential part of the Christian faith. It was finished on the cross, John 19:30, where he bore our sin, 1 Peter 2:24, where he canceled the certificate of debt on the cross, for Colossians 2:14. That's what the Scriptures teach. And then to say, for anybody to say, no, he finished the atonement in hell when he suffered in our place, that is a direct contradiction to one of the most important aspects of all of Christian theology. So, as an example, Joyce Meyer has proven that she is unable to exhort in sound doctrine. So I can tell you what the sound doctrine is, because just go to the Bible. It's not just me. You don't have to have degrees like I do. You don't have to have all the experience. Read the Scriptures. Compare what she says to the Word of God. Why is it that the elders, I'll use her as an example because it applies to others as well. Why is the elders around her don't call her out on this? The elders who are supposed to be men, not women. Why are they not calling her out saying, "You need to repent. You can't say this"? Well, because the elders around her are not doing their job, she promotes heresy. That's not to say that everything she says is false. There's a lot of good things she says. But, Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So now, if people are believing she's that good, and they read other books by her and other stuff where she says she doesn't sin anymore, where Jesus finished the atonement in hell, and they believe that, those lies, then we can't call them Christians. This is how serious this is. She's a false teacher because of this. And we know it because we examine it from the foundation of God's Word. We believe God's Word. And that's what we need to do. That's what all Christians need to do. Not just some guy named Slick on the radio. You too got to do this. The documentation's out there. It'll learn, okay? Simple. All right, there is the music. I got to get going. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, back on there tomorrow. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you then. God bless everybody. See you, bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.